Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
What's going to take it for him to get going here in this fourth?
He has to use the mid-range. He has to use the floaters. He has to get layups that way.
The 7-2 is right. Tried hard to the rack. Knocked away. Great defense that time by Watson. He gets it at the other end. Jokic the assist. 6-0 run, Denver.
Murray. The mid-range, man.
Murray again. To the hole!
It is a one-possession game now.
Caldwell pokes on James. Davis with the screen. LeBron free. Bullseye! Shot clock at 6. James over Gordon 3. Sticks it! Sticks it! Shot clock at 4. Caldwell Pope defends. LeBron chiseling, leaning, and got it! On the play. Lock at 4. Screened by Jokic. Knocked away by LeBron. The steal. The drive. LeBron James drops the sledgehammer. 3-point game. Jokic the other way. The pass down low. Gordon back to Porter. Tied.
Oh my goodness.
And Lakers by 2. Denver the other way. Davis will defend. The screen, LeBron comes up on him. Here is for the time.
The mid-range. The mid-range.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime.
Murray makes a move. The Nuggets have won!
Wow. Wow. I got chills just listening to all that. Good work, Johnny Fever, putting that all together. Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, great job. A thriller, an instant classic. A where were you when Jamal Murray hit the step back fadeaway over a lunging Anthony Davis to cap off the largest comeback in Nuggets playoff history? Down 20 points in the third quarter. They roar back, showing their championship medal. And they beat the Lakers in what has got to be an absolute gut punch loss. You don't recover from that. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael. What a freaking game that was. Was that not awesome? You talk about, I mean, you met the championship medal, just the mental toughness, the ability to continue to grind. You know, LeBron hits in the fourth quarter back-to-back threes from distance, and you think, oh, it's just not our night. But they still just keep fighting. They don't get discouraged. Like, how Murray came back from that night to do what he did in the fourth quarter when he was that bad. He was just bad.
Well, unbelievable. Let him tell you.
If it wasn't for my teammates, it could have been a different game. So I appreciate every single one of them. Every single one of them told me to keep shooting. And you should have been in the huddles hearing the amount of keep shooting I was getting. Kind of getting frustrated with them because I just wanted to be quiet. But it was nice just to have that kind of support from everybody. You know, everybody was in my ear. So that's my teammates, man. They helped me get it done.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. That's it, right? That's the whole. And that's just amazing that you can get to that point where you have been that. I mean, he was just piss poor. And he'd be the first to tell you that. And just to continue to grind, continue to work, continue to find your shot. I tell you what, just absolutely unbelievable.
Well,
what a game. What a game.
Here's your number. Murray was 3 of 16 shooting at the end of the third quarter. 3 of 16 for 6 points. He goes 6 of 8 for 14 points in the fourth quarter. Scored all 6 of the Nuggets' final points.
There you have it.
And I thought Malone had a great take on it. He said, all Jamal needs to do is see one go in.
Right.
And whatever has happened to that point is like forgotten because, okay, I saw one go in, that felt right, and he just goes from there. His ability to just disregard, ignore a bad night and be able to turn it on its head just like that in the middle of the game in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Boy, does that speak to some mental toughness. That's a high, high. He's got a high, high.
Boo rating.
High boo rating.
Balls over.
Balls,
man.
Balls over opponent.
I'll be completely honest with you. I didn't have that. That's not part of my makeup.
If it starts bad, it ends bad?
It's not necessarily that it ends bad. I can't let go. If I make a mistake, I can't let go of it. And it will... You know, I may start playing. I may end up doing okay, but it's not one of those where I can't wash it away. And I always said, like, I couldn't have played cornerback or quarterback, and not because of athleticism, you know, on the quarterback side, maybe on the corner side, but because I didn't have that ability to erase mistakes. You know, you throw a pick, and you got to just be able to go, oh, well, that happens.
Right.
I'm not wired that way. Like, I will beat myself up.
And you're not alone.
Yeah. I'll just beat myself up over a mistake. And usually, you know, I'll make another mistake or two along the way before I kind of get myself corrected. I just, to have that bad of a game and to be able to wash it away and have that kind of fourth quarter in a victory and to be able to hit that game-winning fadeaway, which was just, I mean, that's a tough shot over a seven-footer where, you know, you're falling into the stands. It was incredible, man. That was one of those games. I was actually literally thinking there in the fourth quarter, like, you know, this is one of those, you'll remember where you were, I remember where I'm sitting on the couch. You know, I stayed in downstairs. I told my wife, she goes, no, come upstairs. I go, there's no way. I am not going upstairs. I will not lay down on the bed. That bed will knock me out. It will punch me in the head, and I will be asleep. And so I stayed up in the couch, and I am so glad that I did. I'm so glad I got to see that whole thing live, and I didn't have to come back and watch it this morning.
Yeah, and let's not overlook some of the other heroes. Nikola Jokic, what can you say? 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists, you know, for three quarters. Anthony Davis is getting the better of him. You know, Anthony Davis was the better player.
Oh, Anthony Davis was he was unbelievable.
But as George Carl, our buddy George Carl.
I love George.
Tweeted out last night, Anthony Davis has always been a hell of a three-quarter player. Too bad the NBA is a four-quarter game.
Yeah.
And he disappeared in the fourth, and Nikola Jokic came up as clutch. I mean, Murray's grabbing all the headlines, but Jokic's work in that fourth quarter up until Murray took over was heroic as well. Big shot. You heard it during that highlight package from Michael Porter Jr. He had 22 points.
Dude, he was great too. Just draining threes.
Hit six threes. And how about the bench? How about Christian Brown? Shades of last year.
Yeah.
10 points. In 13 minutes of high-impact play. So
Watson was great, too. On the defensive side, Watson was incredible.
So the Nuggets are up 2-0. They've won 10 in a row over the Lakers, and I just don't see how the Lakers can come back from that. They played the perfect game till midway through the third quarter. They were playing the perfect game, and it looked like we were going to have a series. But there's just no way you come back from that. There's just no way. So we'll give you a chance to react to it. RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Plus, coming up next, what does the Zach Wilson trade tell us about the Broncos' draft plans? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
There is a playoff, Jamal. There is. I mean, just the proof and the stats, man. What he does in the postseason is just incredible. And a lot of guys that have been all-stars can never even come close to doing what he does in the postseason.
There you go. I heard that. I was watching the press conference this morning. And I just started nodding my head. That's Jamal Murray. I don't care. Who cares if he never goes? I don't care if he ever goes to an All-Star game. The NBA's silly over-reliance on guys' resumes being dependent on going to All-Star games is stupid. Not when you got a guy that goes out under the brightest lights and delivers like that. Who cares if he never goes to an All-Star game? His legend.
He does.
At some point, yeah, I guess it's important, but his legend's going to be made long before he goes to All-Star games.
But part of that is, you know, not only Michael Malone recognizing that, but Michael Malone putting that out there in the ether so people next year, you know, when he's rolling through, you know, the first half of the season before the All-Star break comes up, and people actually vote him in.
Some reaction to what we witnessed last night, an instant classic, Luke of Erie. Check this one out, Mark.
Yes.
Early leader in the clubhouse for text of the day. He goes, I know it's not Friday, but is it just me or the theatrical opulence with which the Los Angeles Lakers engage the media at their press conferences is exhausting. In a display of almost Shakespearean proportions, LeBron and AD transform the routine media engagement into a grand exposition of grievances and melodrama. I watched some of the press. I still wired after the game last night. Yes. So I'm watching some of the post game, and Darvin Ham, they run some of his press conferences.
Uh-huh.
And I was incredulous. I could not believe what I was watching. He came out and ripped the officiating. Ripped the officiating. He goes, some tough calls, some tough non-calls. Then LeBron comes out and rips the NBA's replay system.
Uh-huh.
What?
D'Angelo Russell, he rips the officiating, and I'm literally dumbstruck. Like,
inconceivable.
You people.
Right.
You people of all people?
Yes.
Are complaining about the officiating? Oh, that's rich.
Yeah, it was rich. And so many people, so many Laker fans. I couldn't believe the Laker fans on social media pissing and moaning about officiating.
Right?
It was the first time in this 10-game win streak where the Nuggets went to the line more than Lakers.
Correct.
I feel like the officials heard us. I feel like the officials heard people like us across the nation complaining about what a hack job the officials do in favor of the Los Angeles Lakers on a consistent basis. They heard your cries, people. They heard you complain. They heard all about it. And they rectified it last night. Good. It's the way it should be.
Keep those texts coming. We appreciate the reaction. Mark, what was your reaction when you heard about the Zach Wilson trade?
I was like, if I come home and Mrs. S is cleaning up the basement, we're gonna have problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this basement's so untidy. I got to get this guest room all fixed up. What? What are we talking about here?
Oh, boy.
What?
We got a cougar hunter coming to Colorado.
That's right. You thought Derek Wolfe was the only one that could shoot a cougar.
That's right.
Not anymore.
Big game hunter.
I'll tell you, you put this out.
Yeah. But not with him, but.
What?
Well, no. I put out the idea of going after.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You put this out there a couple months ago or a month ago or whatever that you'd like to see them go get a reclamation project in Zach Wilson and try to fix him. Listen, coming out in that, what was he, in the 2021 class?
Yep.
Where now there's only one quarterback in that class, you know, that great class of quarterbacks that include Trevor Lawrence, jury's still out, Zach Wilson, now a Denver Bronco, Trey Lance, you know, now a fourth teamer on the Cowboys.
Justin Fields,
all of them gone. That was, in my just quick evaluation of him over, you know, over draft, at the draft, that dude was his arm talent-wise and athletic talent-wise as good, if not better, than anybody in that class. And there are certain teams you go to, you know, and your career goes there to die. because you're just not going to get coached properly. And the Jets, as we all know, are one of those teams. So, like, from a talent perspective, unbelievable. And now he's here. What does it do? Like, the pressure to go grab a first rounder, to go get a first rounder that in all likelihood probably is going to fail anyway. Why don't you want the experience of failure to sit there and say, hey, man, now I'm going to coach you up, and now let's see what you can become? Like, if he's made of the right stuff, I don't know if he is. You don't know if he is. Nobody knows if he is. But I guarantee you, talent, if we're just evaluating talent, do I think he's more talented than pretty much every guy in this draft? Yep, I do.
Really?
And you? Oh, heck yes.
Just from a talent
arm
standpoint.
Arm talent, athleticism, absolutely without question.
Okay. The trade, by the way, the Broncos getting Wilson and the Jets' seventh-round pick in exchange for one of the Broncos' sixth-round picks. Also, what makes this a no-brainer, what do you got to lose, low-risk, high-upside kind of move. The Jets also picked up a good chunk of Wilson's salary for this upcoming season. So, Zach Wilson, the former number two overall pick in the draft, is now a Denver Bronco. Your quarterback room right now, Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci. Hmm.
And they'll still draft a quarterback. But
oh,
now,
yeah.
But now you got to wonder.
I've said this for a while, though. You know, I've not been on the got to get one at 12 or you got to move up. I have said this for a while. I do not believe the Broncos are drafting a quarterback at 12. I think they will either trade back or take a football player at 12. And now I don't think, I really question whether they'll take one in the first round. I don't think they will.
Well, we'll bounce that off Mike Kliss. He'll join us coming up in about 25 minutes. Fan Flyaway's back, sending you and one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the pro basketball finals in June. And after what we saw last night, got to feel good about our team being there against an opponent to be determined. And we'll fly you out there to a game. Round trip airfare for two from Denver. Destination to be determined. Two nights hotel. $500 cash. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Morning Brew is coming your way next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
You know, as the Nuggets continue to build this growing dynasty, you know, when we put the museum together of all the great moments during this golden era, hang the picture of Jamal Murray's fadeaway deep in the corner in front of the Nuggets bench with the entire crowd standing and watching, with Anthony Davis stretching out to try to block the shot in vain. Hang that one up in the museum, because that was a masterpiece. The Nuggets.
That's the kind you make it like a statue outside, right?
Right, right.
That would be a great statue.
That would be a great statue.
Or maybe when he's laying on the ground and Anthony Davis is tripping over his feet into the Nuggets bench.
101-99 as the Nuggets pull off a 20-point comeback in the second half, the largest comeback in playoff history. Jamal Murray shaking off a terrible three quarters to come through clutch in the fourth.
If it wasn't for my teammates, it could have been a different game. So I appreciate every single one of them. Every single one of them told me to keep shooting. And you should have been in the huddles hearing the amount of keep shooting I was getting. Kind of getting frustrated with them because I just wanted to be quiet. But it was nice just to have that kind of support from everybody. You know, everybody was in my ear. So shout out to my teammates, man. They helped me get it done.
Do you think they have on ESPN right now, the music playing behind Greenberg and all is like a funeral dirge, like just a death march?
You know, when the Lakers played a great, they played a perfect game.
Oh,
they played a perfect game up until they stopped being perfect and then they choked, but they were playing a perfect game. And throughout the whole thing, I'm thinking, oh my God.
Right.
It is going to be insufferable on the four-letter network tomorrow. But Lakers going to Laker, right?
Yeah.
Lakers going to Laker.
Yeah. dude, it was awesome. So the Nuggets now up 2-0, and they've won 10 straight against the Lakers. By the way, do not forget about the contributions of one Nikola Jokic. He had 10 points in the final 5.5 minutes of that game. So, hey, stop me if you've seen this before. Nuggets with clutch performances in the fourth quarter coming down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Led by the best duo I've seen in the NBA in a couple of decades in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They delivered again. And Michael Malone, not at all surprised that his team was able to come back after falling into that deep hole.
It speaks to guys just trusting the process, staying with it, making the necessary adjustments. Then guys stepping up. You got to make plays to get back in it and win a game when you're down by 20. And we had a lot of guys step up and make big play after big play. So, yeah, I mean, we did our job.
They did their job. Jamal Murray finishes with 23 points. Nikola Jokic, another triple-double. This one, 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. Michael Porter Jr., 6 threes on his way to scoring 22. Christian Brown, 10 off the bench. So the Nuggets 2-0. They head back out to Los Angeles for Game 3 coming up on Thursday. Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche. Your turn tonight to respond with a big-time effort as they will take on the Jets in Winnipeg, trailing the series 1-0. Ross Colton, one of several Avalanche who able to shake off game one.
Obviously, it's a long seven-game series. You know, a lot of guys in this room have, you know, been in situations like this. It's, you know, you lose game one. It's really not a big deal. I think, like I said, we have a lot of positives to draw from that game and just, you know, turn the page, move forward and, you know, come out, you know, hungry and, you know, we got to take game two.
Okay, so here is your goaltending situation, right? Nobody wants to see Alexander Georgiev between the pipes anymore. Well, you might. You might get him again tonight because Justus Onanen, again, battling some sort of illness, was not at practice yesterday. The Avs did call up Ivan Prosvetov as insurance. So I don't know, Mark. Barring something unforeseen, I think you're going to get Georgiev again. Because for Onanen, guy's never had an NHL playoff start. And you're going to throw him in game two on the road, having not practiced, having been sick the last couple of days.
All right.
Where would you put the odds that Georgiev is your starter tonight?
About 100%. And the kid they brought up, right, he's never played in an NHL game.
No, he has.
Oh, this kid has?
He has.
The kid they had up the other night hadn't, right?
The backup, no. But Prosvetov has played. He played this year. He played in a number of games this year. So, no, he's got backup experience. But, again, I can't imagine you're just going to throw him in. I know that plenty of Avalanche fans are like, fine, why not, right?
Yeah,
what do you got to lose? But I think all signs are pointing towards Georgiev right now. Next on the, by the way, game two coming up tonight, 7:30 puck drop in Winnipeg. Next on the Morning Brew, the Broncos trading for Zach Wilson. So I got this text after we were just talking about Wilson. Maybe you might want to address this one. This is from Mac Sixpack. Jeez, Team Peyton Pander has reached a new low with the ringing endorsement of Wilson. Yikes, not buying this at all. Are you giving
ringing endorsement?
Are you giving Wilson a ringing endorsement, or are you giving this move a ringing endorsement?
I'm giving the move, and I'm giving Wilson again. You people hear what you want to hear sometimes. Unbelievable talent. I didn't say he was a great quarterback. Did I say that? Did I say he fixed your quarterbacking issues? He's an unbelievable talent that played for the Jets, and the Jets have ruined more quarterbacks than I don't know what. So I need a Troy Rankism there. They've ruined more quarterbacks than, you know, whatever. What's something that's been ruined a lot?
Text line. What do you got?
Yeah. I mean, Troy Rank would have something about a microwave and, you know, and tinfoil. But I didn't say that Zach Wilson's your savior. I say he's incredibly talented, and if coached properly, could I see him resurrecting his career? Absolutely. If, like, he matures and if he takes that responsibility seriously and if he can process information, talent is not the issue. Talent's never been the issue. That's why he was drafted number two overall. But you people think that if you go get a quarterback, you know, you move up to get Trey Lance, you're going to solve your issues. How's that working out? You think you go get Justin Fields and it'll solve your issue? How's that working out? You think you're going to go get, you know, Carson Wentz or Jameis Winston? It's going to solve your issue. How's that working out? Sam Darnold, how's that work? Like, come on.
Well, it's funny. It's the same folks who are, you know, bashing this move are the same ones who are saying, go up, move up, draft a quarterback, any quarterback, for what? Their potential.
Right.
Their talent, their potential. The same stuff that you're saying now with Zach Wilson you don't want to pay any attention to is the same stuff that you're building your argument around why you got to go get a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
With the understanding, by the way, that of the likely, what, five quarterbacks, let's say, that will go in the first round on Thursday, four of them will fail.
Yeah.
Four of them in a few years will be Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand that.
Yeah.
Understand that. Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Again, it's a low-risk, high-reward type of move. And, hey, when you do not have a quarterback, bring in as many as you can. Bring in as many as you can until you finally find your guy. We'll bounce this off Mike Kliss coming up as... had he heard any rumblings of this, or did this one catch him off guard? Mike will join us coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Kliss is our 9 News Bronco Insider. Joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline, as he does every week at this time. Mike, good morning. Had you heard any whispers of this Zach Wilson trade coming down the pike?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had written it as a possibility that that was a veteran they might pick up along with the draft. I thought it might happen in the draft, you know, the day two of the draft. And but, yeah, it came about. The Broncos basically gave up nothing. They got a seventh round, $2.75 million, and Zach Wilson in return for a six-round pick. You add all that up, it's like a six and a half round, maybe even a seventh round that they had to give up for somebody. And that's really been the going rate for all those 2021 first-round quarterbacks. Four of them are now gone.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. So what does this do in regards to the draft? Does it change their draft plans?
I say from, you know, I've talked a little bit here and there, and the sense I get is Zach Wilson is not going to change your draft plans. Zach Wilson shouldn't change your draft plans. Do not cross Bo Nix off the list of possibilities. Do not cross J.J. McCarthy off the list of possibilities. They're still in play. Maybe a little bit more odds that you get the best player available. You know, if Dallas Hunter's there, Terry and Arnold, a cornerback, although they picked up a veteran starter yesterday and Levi Wallace. But I guess I would still put a quarter on Bo Nix and a couple dimes on J.J. McCarthy and then nickels on Dallas Turner and Latu and those type of guys.
So as we get set for this draft on Thursday, and with so many Bronco fans wanting the Broncos to draft a quarterback, even be willing to trade up to draft that quarterback, what should be the lesson that we take from Zach Wilson's journey to Denver?
Well, I mean, you needed a little more experience to compete with Jarrett Stidham. And Zach Wilson, you know, even though it's bad experience in the NFL, there's still some traits there that made him the number two overall draft pick. And, you know, he's going to need some rehab. He's going to need some New York City decompress rehab. I think from afar, it looked like Zach Wilson wasn't quite mature enough for the New York City market. You know, I used to cover baseball and follow baseball quite a bit back in the day. And there were always guys who just got chewed up and spit out in the New York market, you know, Yankees. There's always certain guys that could play for the Yankees and certain guys that couldn't. And Zach Wilson was 21 years old, maybe a bit naive, a bit immature for New York. Get him out of there. Get him with Sean Payton versus, you know, all the different offensive systems he had with the Jets and different situations. Get him a little stability here and see if you can resurrect him. Because, you know, in 2021, I remember, you know, the Broncos and everybody else would have loved to have had Zach Wilson in the draft. You know, it just kind of fell apart on him from there.
Yeah, heck, Randy Johnson couldn't handle pitching in New York. So, I mean, there was...
That's right, yeah.
There's a lot of guys. That list is long. What does this do? Is there a guy, you know, if they decide to go the player route at 12 or move back, whatever the case may be, is there a guy, if they move back and accumulate a pick in the second or the third round, is there a guy that you know of that they are high on that maybe isn't one of these top six quarterbacks?
Well, Spencer Rattler's the best of the rest, and he's got a lot of talent. He's a little small. You know, I think he's 6 foot, maybe a little taller than 6 foot, and thin, you know, but he's got a lot of passing talent. And, you know, when you think about coming out of high school, he was the number one quarterback in the country. And so, you know, he transferred away after Caleb Williams. No crime there, losing your starting job to Caleb Williams. And then transferred, and, you know, South Carolina gets beat up in that SEC, and so he's got some scars and some wounds. But he's a guy that maybe in the second or third round, and Michael Pratt probably, you know, third and the fourth round type guy.
Well, Mike, we were both yesterday talking about how we felt like there was nothing left to talk about with the Broncos. Yeah. That we exhausted all possibilities. Can we just get on with the draft? But, well, that injected a little life into it yesterday, so we'll see what happens coming up on Thursday. We appreciate the time, as always. Appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
You got it, guys.
Mike Liss, our 9 News at Bronco Insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. You asked, Mark, for help. The Jets have ruined quarterbacks like... ..
Yeah.
Here's some from our listeners. The Jets have ruined quarterbacks like Jar Jar Binks, ruined episodes 1, 2, and 3, and ruined Star Wars.
All right. I don't know.
I follow space guy stuff, space nerd stuff enough to know that
Jar Jar was hated
by the Star Wars aficionados.
Really? Is that like the Mandalorian Jar Jar? Is there a Jar Jar Mandalorian?
No, I don't think so. But good. That's a good take. That's a strong take. Okay, the Jets have destroyed more quarterbacks than Schlereth has bathrooms. Jets have destroyed more quarterbacks than Evans has buffets.
And that's no cap.
That's good.
Yeah.
This one from Josh. The Jets have ruined more quarterbacks than wives ruin Saturdays.
Wow.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. I'm just reading the text.
Okay? He's got claws.
I don't endorse that text.
Yeah, what are you just talking reading about? It. I love, you know, a nice day at Bed Bath and Beyond.
Sure. Nothing better than waking up on a Saturday and being handed a list of honeydews.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
I love it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Rivalslot.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, four down territory, we relive the instant classic that was the Nuggets' biggest comeback in their playoff history. Also had a... kind of frustrated Avalanche fan asking, geez, after everything I've heard the last couple days, why should the Avs even show up tonight?
It's a great question.
Should they bother? We'll answer next.